Tonight we return to our series on the prophet Habakkuk. Look back, it's been about a month since we've considered a text out of this book. We'll read out of Habakkuk chapter 3. We'll return to the rich instruction that we've received from this prophet. We've got a sermon tonight on it, and Lord willing, next Sunday as well, and that will be the final sermon in the series. Habakkuk chapter 3. This is the word of God. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundedst the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. And I should have said earlier, the text tonight is verses 3 through 16, so this brings us to the end of our text. I will read those last three verses of the chapter as well. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And thus far we read God's word. Let's pray and ask God's blessing in the preaching. Now, Father in heaven, as we sit into the ministry of thy word tonight, we pray that thou wilt comfort us. Comfort us in any struggle, any sorrow that we are having now. Comfort us for the future, so that anything that may befall us, we would live in hope and we would live in faith. Because we remember that thy word says, the just shall live by his faith. Grant us strength through the preaching of the gospel that we would live by faith. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been about a month since we were looking at our series on Habakkuk. We looked at the first two verses of chapter 3 about a month ago, 4 weeks ago. When we did so, we saw this. We saw that Habakkuk was changed. We saw that in chapter 3, Habakkuk approaches God now in a different way. You'll remember that in this prophecy, there's this back and forth dialogue between Habakkuk and God. Habakkuk speaks, God responds. Habakkuk speaks, God responds. Well, now in chapter 3, Habakkuk is speaking, but he's speaking in a very different way. Earlier in the book, he was questioning God. In chapter 1, verse 2, he's saying, God, why don't you do something? And what he's talking about there is all of the injustices that he saw in Judah. There was oppression that was taking place. God's people were being hurt by others in the nation. And he's saying, God, why don't you do something? God comes back to him and says, I am. What Habakkuk had in mind was reformation, like he saw under Josiah when he was a child. But God said, no, I'm not bringing reformation. I'm going to bring the Chaldeans. I'm going to bring some judgment. I'm going to bring chastening upon the people. Then Habakkuk questions God again. And he says, how can this be? You're a just and you're a holy God. How can you use the Chaldeans of all people? They're so wicked and so awful. But then God answers Habakkuk. And he says, who are you to question me? But now in Habakkuk chapter 3, we see none of this. Habakkuk has changed. He approaches God with a different posture. Instead of pride in which he's questioning God, there's humility and bowing down before God. Instead of questions, now Habakkuk brings praise. As we see here in Habakkuk 3, Habakkuk is praising God in a song. Another way to put it is, it's poetry. Poetry, but poetry meant to be sung. That this is a song is evident from some of the words that we find here in this chapter. First of all, in verse 1, shigionoth. That is a word that refers to singing or a song. Also, selah is part of that, or selah. The part of the idea of that may be a pause. There are some who think that it's like what happens in music, like we did tonight when you go back and you sing a line again. And so some think that it was in the Hebrew as an indication to go back and sing what was there again, but all of it pointing out that this was song. And then at the end of the chapter, we read to the chief singer on my stringed instruments, this was meant to be a song that was sung. And so Habakkuk was singing. Now that's important for us to remember tonight, because as we look at this text and we see what was sung, we see that Habakkuk is singing about history in the past. But as he's singing about it, there's not this chronological order to it. He's singing about how God took care of the people of Israel, delivering them out of Egypt, bringing them through the wilderness, and then into the promised land. But again, it's not in a chronological order. He's singing here praises to God as he remembers the past. And how beautiful this song is. Habakkuk records the power of God to save. He records the power of God to judge. And he records all of this for the calming of his own soul. And he records all of this for the calming of the souls of the people of Judah at that time. And remember why they needed it. The Chaldean army was coming. The Babylonian army was coming. And would soon surround Jerusalem. And soon they would be taken to captivity in that land. So Habakkuk writes this song to calm his soul and the souls of the people of Judah. And thus we learn this important thing from this song. We learn how to calm our souls in times of trouble. We learn how to calm our souls in times of trouble as a church, in times of trouble as churches, but we also learn how to calm our troubled souls individually when we go through times of great hardship and difficulty. We do this. We remember the works of God in the past. We go back and record that history. Not only God's goodness in the history of the church, but God's history in our own lives. And maybe, maybe we would even put that to song. Maybe we would even write that down. Maybe we would even write a poem, as Habakkuk did. So that's what we look at tonight. God's answers to a lamenting prophet, that's our theme for the series. And in this text, we look at this, remembering God's might in song. Remembering God's might in song. We notice first, his power. Secondly, his purpose. And that his there is God. So God's power, God's purpose, and God's praises. We see, first of all, in this song, that Habakkuk is praising God for his mighty acts. Habakkuk records the mighty acts of God here in this chapter for the strengthening of his faith in the face of present suffering. In the face of present suffering, Habakkuk reminds himself and he reminds the people of Judah what God had done in the past. He reminds himself and the people of Judah of the great power of God that was on display in what God had done in the past. And specifically, as I said in the introduction, it was Habakkuk remembering what God had done in delivering God's people out of Egypt, delivering his people through the wilderness, and bringing his people into the promised land of Canaan. One thing that we see from this, before we get into the details of it, one thing we see from this is that the Christian faith, our faith, rests on what God does. It rests on his acts. And so we see that true for Habakkuk as well. What does Habakkuk remember? Well, first of all, notice, and again, it's in poetry, it's in song, so it's not in chronological order, but Habakkuk remembers, first of all, the power of God in delivering his people out of Egypt and caring for them in the wilderness. Let me point out some of the ways in which Habakkuk remembers that in the text. First of all, in verse 3, we read there, God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. We might wonder here, what is Habakkuk talking about? Well, Habakkuk is talking about mountain ranges that were near to Mount Sinai. And remember that area. First of all, it was important because Moses, after he fled from the people of Israel, he went out into the wilderness and he lived in this area. And remember how God appeared to Moses at the burning bush? And at the burning bush, God called Moses to go back to the people of Israel who were in Egypt to deliver them out of Egypt. So Habakkuk here is referring to that, to God appearing to Moses and sending him back to deliver Israel out of Egypt. But we know as well that when the people of Israel were going through the wilderness, this was one of their stops on the way to the promised land. They stopped at Sinai, and there Moses was given the law, and there Moses was able to see up on the mount a glimpse of the glory of God. Remember how Moses came down from the mount, and his face was shining with a reflection of that glory of God that he had seen. Habakkuk is remembering that. Remembering how God was there delivering his people from Egypt through Moses and cared for them in the wilderness. Then in verses 3 and 4 continuing,
We read this, His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise, and His brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of His hand, and there was the hiding of His power. Here, Habakkuk is speaking of how the Lord delivered Israel out of Egypt. He's probably speaking here of the Shekinah glory of God that was manifested in the pillar of cloud that led the people of Israel by day and the pillar of fire that led the people by night. And remember that that cloud was so important in the deliverance of the people out of the land of Egypt. Because when they were right up to the Red Sea, they had mountains on either side. The Egyptian army came from behind. And God used that cloud to keep the Egyptian army in darkness so that they couldn't move. And God provided light for the people of Israel so that they could cross the Red Sea and thus be delivered from the army of the Egyptians. They safely crossed that sea. And it was that same cloud that led the people of Israel through the wilderness, reminding them of the constant presence of Jehovah God with them. Along with that, verse 8 is a remembrance of the Red Sea as well. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? There Habakkuk is remembering how God delivered Israel from Egypt at the Red Sea, when those waters of the Red Sea came crashing down an obstinate Pharaoh and his army. And then along with that in verse 5, Habakkuk remembers the plagues there in Egypt. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. It was by these plagues that the land of Egypt was decimated. So that finally Pharaoh and the people were begging the people of Israel to leave. Habakkuk remembers the power of God in delivering His people out of Egypt and through the wilderness. And Habakkuk remembers as well the power of God in giving them the land of Canaan. That's evident in some of the verses here again. Verses 6 and 7, we read, He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. The Gentile nations trembled before God when the people of Israel went through the wilderness and when they entered into the promised land of Canaan as well. Remember in a specific way how Rahab told the spies of the fear that there was in Jericho because the people of Israel were coming and they were afraid of the mighty God of Israel. And then it talks about mighty cities that seemed like eternal mountains. They'd been around so long that they're like mountains that had always been there, and it seemed that they were indefeatable. But God, He defeated them. He destroyed them by His great power. And then in verse 11, there's a specific reference there of how God did that. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, at the shining of thy glittering spear. There Habakkuk is referencing what is recorded for us in Joshua chapter 10. Remember that the army of Israel fell on the forces of the Amorites and defeated them. And that was because the Lord struck down so many in that Amorite army with large hailstones. And then after that, Joshua prayed that the sun and moon would stand still, so that the army of Israel could continue their defeat of these Amorites. And God made that to happen so that for 36 hours the sun and the moon stood still and the people of Israel continued their slaughter of this great enemy.
Habakkuk is remembering the power of God by which he delivered his people from enemy after enemy and army after army. There's something that we learn from this. We learn that God's past victories give us hope in the suffering that we presently endured. When Habakkuk records what God had done, he's recording even how God, the Lord, used the creation to accomplish his purpose. That's one of the things that stands out in this song. Sun and moon and mountains and rivers, and how all of these things in the creation themselves were used by God to fight against these great enemies. Habakkuk remembers how God sovereignly and powerfully delivered his people from powerful enemies by even ruling over the creation itself. And thus God defeated Egypt, and God defeated all the nations of Canaan, and God employed the creation itself to accomplish his purpose. And Habakkuk's point is, if God was able to do this in the past, he is able to do it right now, and he's able to do it in the future. His song is saying something like this. Remember. Remember how God brought us into the promised land. Remember how God brought us out of Egypt. But remember especially when we brought into the promised land, our knees were shaking, our hands were sweating. Because before the giants in Canaan, we felt like grasshoppers. But the Lord, he showed up and delivered us. So what Habakkuk is saying is, although the Chaldeans are coming, they're on their way with their chariots, and our knees are knocking, and our hands are sweating, and we will soon be captives in the land of Babylon. Remember how God showed up and conquered and delivered his people in the past. He will do the same for us. And beloved, that's what we need to remember in our present suffering as well. We find hope today in the victories that God has accomplished in the past. That's why history is so important for us as the people of God. It reminds us of what God has done in the past. And what God has done in the past gives us hope for today and for the future. That's not just my observation. That's not just the observation of Habakkuk. That's what God's word tells us in Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. Hear the word of God there. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. These things are recorded in Scripture, the things that God has done in the past, so that today and going forward, we would be a people who live in hope. We meditate upon the past victories that are recorded in Scripture so that we can be assured of the power of God right now. The power of God that was on display in the past will be displayed in His church going forward as well. Especially as the people of God, we find our hope in the great deliverance accomplished by Jesus Christ. We look back to the cross. We look back to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and we live in the light of that. And just to give an example of that from Scripture, the Apostle Paul does that in 2 Corinthians 1. He looks back to the cross and resurrection and shows what that means for the suffering that he was going through at that time. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9 and 10. Now, beginning in verse 8, he says, "Therefore, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Paul's saying, the persecution was so intense, we were convinced we were going to die. But
We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He was trusting that God would deliver him because he knew the power of God to raise from the dead. And how did Paul know the power of God to raise from the dead? He raised his own son from the dead. So Paul is pointing back to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's always where we find our hope, in the past victory of Jesus Christ. So Habakkuk, as we return to Habakkuk 3, he remembers the power of God in the past, which is important for the present suffering that we go through. But as Habakkuk remembers the power of God, he remembers as well the purpose of God in the exercise of his power. The purpose of God is salvation through judgment for the glory of his name. So right there, you have the second point of the sermon in a nutshell. The purpose of God is the salvation of his people through judgment for the glory of his name. Habakkuk reminds us and reminds the people of Judah at that time of that, of the purpose of God in his powerful works. First of all, notice this. God was accomplishing salvation through judgment. You might say, well, where does the song say that? We'll go to verse 13. We read that there. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Notice here that Habakkuk praises God by remembering his justice on the unrepentant wicked. We take notice of that even as we go back through some of this history that Habakkuk was remembering. When he remembers the power of God, he remembers the judgment of God in that. Remember that when God delivered his people out of Egypt, part of the way in which God delivered them was through judgment on Egypt. The 10 plagues were God's judgment on this wicked people. These 10 plagues decimated the land of Egypt. Their animals were killed. Their firstborn were killed. They were begging the people to leave. And then on top of that, God destroyed their army when the walls of water at the Red Sea came crashing down on them. There was hardly anything left of Egypt. The Almighty God judged those who worshipped rivers and frogs and all kinds of idols. He judged them in the demonstration of his power. He did the same thing in the land of Canaan. City after city was defeated, nation after nation was defeated, so that the people of Israel were given the land and they could move into that land. The text tells us that God did this for the salvation of his anointed. The anointed there, first of all, refers to Christ. We'll get to that in a moment. But it also refers to God's people who are on him. That word anointed indicates in part that they are the ones whom he has chosen. And so he delivered his people out of the bondage of Egypt. He brought them into the promised land of Canaan. And God used then this powerful judgment of their enemies for the salvation of his people. But in this we see Habakkuk pointing ahead to the promised Messiah. It's there in verse 13. We read there him saying in the song, thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Habakkuk there is referring back to the what's often called the mother promise. Genesis 3 verse 15. where God promised after the fall of Adam into sin that the seed of the woman would come and crush the head of Satan, wound the head of Satan, and at the same time, the Savior's heel would be wounded. And that's referring to the suffering that he would go through in his life. When Habakkuk is referring back to Genesis 3, verse 15, what he's saying is, God protected his people, God saved his people to preserve the line of Christ. God crushed the earthly enemies of his people for the sake of the sending of his Son, for the sake of our salvation, and for the sake of our redemption. This is essentially what Habakkuk remembers. He remembers all that God did from the perspective of the coming of the Messiah. And so Habakkuk is teaching the people in their present suffering, yes, the Chaldeans are coming, but remember that just as God used judgment for the salvation of his people, for the coming of the Messiah, so also God will use the suffering under the Chaldeans and the captivity to preserve his line, to preserve the line of Christ until he comes. When we look at this passage then, we have to see what God's purpose is. God's purpose is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we remember Habakkuk's song and what he's declaring in it, let us look back and remember God's Son. Some 600 years after the time of Habakkuk, about 600 years after the fall of Babylon and the return of God's people to Jerusalem, a child was born in Bethlehem. The Savior made his way to the cross to be the recipient of God's wrath. And in his mercy, the Holy God placed our sin on his beloved Son. And in his mercy, this holy God placed his Son's righteousness upon us and sees us in that righteousness of our Savior. What that means then is that in the midst of trials, in the midst of suffering, what we ought to meditate on especially and sing the praises of before God is the salvation that Jesus Christ has accomplished. The temptation is that in our trials, we moan and we despair and we think there is no hope. But when we're trusting in God like we should in the midst of our sorrows, we remember that he is the God who always accomplishes his purposes. That's what the cross teaches us. God turned us from the wrath that we deserved. He saved us from that wrath by the perfect substitute, and he restored us to fellowship with him. It's on that cross where the mercy and the justice of God met, and they kissed, and in wrath God remembered mercy. Remember, that's what Habakkuk said at the end of Habakkuk 3, verse 2. That was his prayer. In wrath, remember mercy. On the cross, God remembered mercy, even as he remembered his wrath. This is what gives us patience and hope then in our suffering. Patience, the idea of it is simply this: it's waiting for something good. We, the people of God, are people of patience and hope. We wait for something good, knowing that will come. Why? Because that's been God's MO. That's always the way God works with his people. That's what Habakkuk is remembering. God promised to give the land, and he gave the promised land of Canaan.
God promised that the Messiah would come. Habakkuk is living in faith. The Messiah would come, and the Chaldean army wouldn't stop that. And so we live by faith as well, remembering what? Well, God always accomplishes what he says he will do. And he says this all works for our salvation. This is all bringing the day of our Savior's return. Even with the things that are going on in the world today, how troubling they are for us. But we need not fear. Why? Because we have hope and we have patience. The God who has done these things in the past will continue to do these things in the future. And the purpose of God in all of this is the glory of his name. He will save through judgment for the glory of his name. That's what Habakkuk is saying here. That's what we see going back again to verse 3. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. This is all for the praise and the glory of God. But that praise and glory arises out of something else. It's knowing that God is faithful. Verse 6, his ways are everlasting. That's in contrast to these mountains that seem to be everlasting, these cities in Canaan that seem to be everlasting, that seem to be indefeatable. And then God defeated them. And then, as Habakkuk sings, he says, his ways are everlasting. What that means is that God is always faithful. God is a God who changes not. God is a God who stands by his promises. He is a promise-keeping God. When he promised to do something, he does it. Do we believe that God is such a God? That's what Habakkuk is displaying as he looks back upon the history of what God has done in the past. And so that's what Habakkuk is declaring in this song. The people had fallen into sin, but God restored them. That had happened with Judah. They had fallen into sin. God will restore them. God will save them. He will send his Messiah. So true for us. We fall into sin. But God restores us. And God saves. He's everlasting, unchanging in all of his ways. And all of this he does for the glory of his name. It's all about the glory of God. Our Savior Jesus Christ recognized that, so that soon before he went to the cross, he prayed the high priestly prayer, and it's recorded for us in John 17. And in verse 1 of John 17, remember what Jesus prays there. It's the beginning of his high priestly prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. The cross was for the purpose of the glory of God. Paul remembers that in Ephesians 1. It's repeated throughout Ephesians 1 that God saves and he gives the blessings of salvation. Why? To the praise of the glory of his grace. And then Paul remembers that as well in Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, the very end of that chapter. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. That's why God does everything that he does. It's for the glory of his name. So Habakkuk, as he praises God for his power, and he remembers God's faithfulness and his saving work through judgment, it's all to remember that God does it all for the glory of his name. And that also comforts us in our suffering. Fill in the blank. What's your suffering right now? Whatever you fill in, and whatever list of suffering that you've had in your life, God says it's for the glory of his name. Rest in that. And we do rest in this. What God has done in the past is true today and will be true tomorrow. He displays his power in saving his people for the glory of his name. So the praise of God arises out of this. We see that tonight
that Habakkuk is praising God. As Habakkuk is praising God here in this third chapter of the prophecy, we see that his praise is a far cry from his previous laments. Habakkuk here is resting in the power of God and in the promises of God, and he's praising him. Habakkuk's no longer trying to figure everything out. He's not doubting God. He's not questioning God. But instead, Habakkuk is awestruck by the power and the purpose of God. See that in verse 16. Habakkuk says, "When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble." Notice that Habakkuk is in awe of God's power and purposes. God's glory, wrath, and salvation so overwhelm the prophet that he feels physically weak and he needs to sit down. His teeth are chattering. His stomach is all upset. And his bones feel like rubber, like they can't support him at that moment. He's overwhelmed by the power and the greatness of God. But what Habakkuk is saying is that that's exactly where he needs to be, because it's in that moment that he's resting in God in the day of trouble. That's what we read there in verse 16, that I might rest in the day of trouble. As the chariots of the Chaldeans are coming, it's almost if Habakkuk can hear the horses' hooves. What calms him with the soon approach of that army and the captivity that will follow and unspeakable oppression and atrocities, what calms him is the knowledge of the power and the goodness of God. We go back to the end of chapter 2. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. That's where Habakkuk is at this moment, silent, resting upon God, knowing there's no reason to fear because of the power of God and the saving purposes of God, because God is faithful. What about us? We know fears. We know trembling. We know hardship. We know difficulty. What leads us to calm? What leads us to rest? Well, it's this, Habakkuk says. It's seeing the power and the majesty of God. It's seeing how great and glorious he is. Are you and I tonight with Habakkuk? When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself. Are we trembling before the amazing power and purposes of this God? Habakkuk is saying this is the best place to be, because it does lead to rest. It leads to patience. It leads to quiet hope. The idea is the more we see the greatness of God, the more we hope in him. Satan tries to distract us, and we are easily distracted in the troubles and difficulties of life. This morning in catechism, we had that time when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee and Jesus was asleep in the boat, and they had forgotten what was so important. They're living in fear as they're in this great storm on the Sea of Galilee. And we know what that's like. We live our lives in a great and tumultuous sea, the sea of this life. And sometimes we forget what's most important. We forget who's with us. we forget his power. Satan wants us forgetting that and focused on the storm itself. And Habakkuk was led by God through the work of the Spirit to turn his head up and to remember what God had done in the past, remember the purposes of God, and therefore, even with the army approaching, captivity looming, he's resting in the power and the purposes of God. So that's the question for us tonight. Are we resting in him? If we're struggling to do that, let us hear more of his greatness and majesty. Let us read more of his greatness and majesty. And if you need to, write your own song. Write your own song about the deliverances of God for the church in the past, but not just that. Write your own song about the deliverances of God in your own life. And the way that God has sustained and helped you so far so that you would see and know he will do the same in whatever comes in the future. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we praise thee for thy past goodness and faithfulness. We praise thee for thy power in the past. Like the people long ago, we easily forget that. Even when the people of Israel did, they saw the Red Sea, and just a few days later, they were complaining because they had no water. We know we're like that. Help us to remember thy power. Help us to remember thy purposes and to praise thee for it. And as we do so, may we rest in the work of thee, our God, that is always being accomplished until the day of our Savior's return, when there will be full and complete victory for us and for all of thy people. Calm our troubled souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.